Open your Bibles once again to Psalm 23. And our text will be tonight, verse 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And now our text. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word again this evening. This morning we looked at the nourishment of God's people, whether it be with a picture of the shepherd who feeds and leads his sheep, or whether it be Jehovah God as the host of the table who supplies our strength by giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, body and blood, to be eaten in faith. But this last verse goes on to picture the perfect safety of the child of God in the midst of all these enemies and troubles in this life. And the safety of God's people is only because of the unchangeable and the holy, unconditional faithfulness of our covenant God. God who established a covenant with us. God maintains that covenant with us, and God will perfect that covenant when Jesus Christ comes again. So, because we are sustained in this life through all of our troubles and afflictions, we are able to look with confidence to that day when we will dwell forever in God's house. That's our theme, dwelling in God's house. Notice, first of all, what is God's house? Second of all, our dwelling in that house. And thirdly, how that hope is possible. The house of God, dwelling in that house, how that will be possible. Troubles there will be in our life. For as Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his master. We will have enemies, for Jesus said, as they have hated me, so also they will hate you. The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I will lack for nothing. So we set our face and we set our eyes upon the house of God. David coming home from battles. How he would look forward to coming back again to Jerusalem, and how he would look forward to going to the tent of meeting or to the tabernacle. He was eager to come back to Jerusalem, and he was eager to come back to the tabernacle there for worshiping, because the tabernacle was a symbol of Jehovah God dwelling in the midst of his people. And that tent that was moved by David to Jerusalem, later on replaced by his son Solomon with a beautiful temple built with wood and stone. God dwelling in the midst of his people, looking forward to coming back from his battles and again worshiping God there. Communion with God. And that tabernacle and later on the temple are really symbols of Christ Jesus. For as God was pleased to dwell in the midst of his people by the tabernacle and later on the temple, those things give way when God is pleased to dwell in the midst of his people in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus was able to say, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The whole idea of the temple of God or the house of God is God's presence with us. And so as David looked forward to coming home again from his battles back to Jerusalem, so you and I also, after our week, a week of battles, as we saw already this morning, the battles against our sinful flesh, the battles against the temptations and the persecution of the world, and our battle against Satan, who goes about like a roaring lion seeking to devour, tear to pieces. All week long, as the church militant, we are called to that battle, aren't we? We are soldiers of Jesus' cross. How we long then, after the long week of fighting sin, of running the race set before us, to come into God's house on Sunday, to hear his word, and to rest in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. Yes, we rest in the work of Jesus Christ, because he fought the decisive battle and was victorious against sin and Satan and death. The church militant, resting in the work of Jesus Christ. Has that been your experience today? Did you say this morning, and will you say again tonight, "I'm glad"? I'm glad I didn't spend the day maybe with someone else at the lake. I'm glad I didn't sleep in this morning. I'm glad that I heard of Christ as he was set forth in the Word and all that he has done. And that's mine. That's mine. That's mine by faith. But when David says that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, ultimately, he is looking forward to God's heavenly fellowship. Notice those phrases in verse 6 of Psalm 23. That there in the house of God, all the days of my life, goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell forever. It's the house of the Lord. Our building here is the house of the Lord, that is, it is dedicated to the worship of God, communing with God, having fellowship with God. But the house of the Lord is ultimately heaven itself. That is where he dwells. And heaven is not an infinite lengthening of what is here already, but rather it is perfection. It is not the lengthening of the joys and sorrows and families and friends and marriages of this life. Those things come to an end at death. But what makes heaven heaven is that God resides there, that we are there with Christ Jesus, our Savior, that we are there with a church triumphant. That church having been gathered through the whole history of the world, beginning with Adam and Eve and culminating when the last elect person has been born and has been saved. Then Jesus will come again. Beloved, that is the essence of heaven. So misunderstood so often by people, we will hear them talking about desiring to die so that they can be with their husband, or they can be with their wife, or they can be with that child that was taken beforehand. Those relationships end at death. That is not the essence of heaven. The essence of heaven is to be with Christ Jesus and to be with all the saints. They are all our brothers and sisters, just as here, these are all our brothers and sisters. And we long for heaven because heaven is the place of God's perfected covenant fellowship and communion. How many times wasn't David away from Jerusalem and away from the tabernacle because he had to fight the battles of the Lord? Or he was away from Jerusalem because he was fleeing for his life. And how often aren't we at times far away from God, in the sense not that God is far away, but that we in our sins are walking away from the Lord and we don't experience that closeness of the fellowship. Sin is a barrier. It gets in the way of our fellowshipping with God. Or our zeal is not what it ought to be because we've got our eye on that car or that house or the things of this world instead of on Him who is our God and our Redeemer. Oh, the perfected fellowship. We mentioned in the prayer, didn't we? No sorrows of a parent up in heaven over a son or a daughter that's rebellious. No fighting or bickering in marriages. No cancer. No illness. No persecution. There will no longer be temptations bombarding us as they do now. There'll be no sins that we engage in that we're ashamed of. God's perfected fellowship, covenant life. We are thankful that we already experienced that covenant fellowship now by faith. It's ours. But then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, where there is no tears, no temptation or sin, where there's no wickedness at all. What a blessed, what a wonderful expectation for the child of God. Is it yours? Do you have a lively hope? Are you praying in your prayers privately or as families? Come. Come, Lord Jesus. For as much as we enjoy our now fellowship with God by faith, when Jesus comes again and we reign with Christ Jesus, we see Him face to face. What a hope. What an expectation. And when I use the word hope, I don't use it in the sense of I hope it's going to be sunny tomorrow. I don't know. But rather a sure thing. That is my hope. I'm grounded upon that hope because it's the promise of God in His Word. So it is the house of the Lord, fellowship with God and our fellow saints here on earth, but especially when we're taken home to be with Christ at death. Although then that's called the interim state because only our souls are with Christ Jesus. We're looking for more than that, aren't we? We're looking for when Christ comes again, and then our bodies are also raised, and body and soul perfect with Christ forever and ever in heaven. Notice with me, second of all, our dwelling then in that house. Not all long for that day. Many are very content with this life and the things of this life. Let us eat, let us drink, and let us be merry, for tomorrow maybe we die. No, it is only by grace that we long, that we have this expectation of heaven. The natural man, although he would love to escape hell, might talk about something better after death, but they don't have any hope, they don't have any expectation of being with the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the presence of the triune God. Oh, how attractive that is to you and me as children of God. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Can you say that? Is there one thing that you are really longing for, that you are seeking after? What? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of His temple. Christ Jesus was set before us again this morning in the preaching of the Word. Did you delight in seeing by faith the Christ as He set forth? Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 84, the first two verses, how amiable. Boys and girls, we don't use that word very much in our language, do we? It means how beautiful, how lovely is a good word from the Latin. Amo amari, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Dwelling in the house of the Lord. We go to the book of Revelation, the last two chapters. I can't think of a saint or a family that is going through the grieving of a loved one who has passed away does not want one of those two chapters read at their funeral. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. That's the covenant, isn't it? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. We have this expectation because God in His Word reveals that we will be dwelling in that tabernacle of God, the new heavens and the new earth. Revelation 22, the first five verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Yes, Jesus promised that. And in his high priestly prayer, you know where that's found, right? Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. We read in verse 27, Jesus says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given to me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. What a day that will be. And that is especially attractive to you and me as children of God. Only when we are so weary of our sins, and when we are filled with love for God and his service, we love to serve him. We long for that day when we're going to serve him forever and ever without sin in the new heavens and the new earth. Yes, how wonderful is that house of the Lord, because God is going to be revealing himself day by day to us there in all of his glory and the perfection of his being. Yes, God is a spirit, but we will behold God in the face of Jesus Christ. For as Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And he reveals to us himself a far greater work than in this first creation. He reveals himself as our Redeemer, the one who came and plucked us out of the miry clay of our sins and set our feet upon that rock, Christ Jesus. I know what it is to walk through muddy clay, or in the pastures, the dung of the animals all around you, it sticks to your boots. Can I escape from it? And the answer from our sins, can we escape from it? And the answer is yes, because God, our Savior, is responsible for our salvation from beginning to end. He plucks us up and he sets us. He has given us to Christ in eternity. He makes us his own. So we worship him now by faith, but we stammer the praises, don't we? Sometimes our mind is so much on the music or the notes that we're not thinking of the very words that we're singing. And our hearing of the word, there's distractions. We see someone else walking out of church, or we see this one kind of sleeping, or all kinds of distractions, or we start thinking about tomorrow or what happened yesterday. And in prayers, yes, that congregational prayer, which can be long, yes, our eyes are closed and maybe we almost think it's time for a nap. But when we dwell in the house of the Lord that is in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, our worship and our service of Christ Jesus will be perfect. It will be complete. There will be nothing lacking of it. And if Christ says to us after our earthly sojourn, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of their master," what will he say of his children in heaven, who day and night, as the church triumphant, serve him and the angels in heaven? Delivered from all sin, we will then be perfectly adapted to heavenly service, uninterrupted. No night there, no need of a sun, because we're always in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, serving our God. And I want you to notice especially what David writes there. As he's coming back from his battles, he's longing to be there in the temple again to worship. But now in Psalm 23, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Dwell. Notice, we're not just going to visit there for a little while like we do now on Sundays here in church. We come here and then we have to go back into our homes and into our neighborhoods and carry out our work. We do dwell in the house of the Lord. That is, we enjoy now already that communion, that sweet fellowship with God by faith. But we're going to be in heaven not as a guest, an occasional guest, but we are going to dwell there as a family. As a family, we are his children. There's going to be that intimacy. It's our home. I can think of the 42 years of ministry that we would serve different places. My wife and I and the children would try to make it home again, that is, by our parents' house, several times a year. That was home, and we would be able to go home again. Well, heaven is our home, not just to visit once in a while, but rather to dwell forever. So the house of the Lord is our house. That's our dwelling place. That is the place that is now being prepared for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, when his disciples are so sorrowful because Jesus is going to be leaving them, Jesus comforts them and he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The house of the Lord is our house, prepared for us by Jesus Christ, even as he is preparing us for that house. And that is why the many different trials and afflictions in our life, because the Lord is preparing us. He is chiseling us, taking out all the rough spots, making us smooth and glorious like a stone that is chiseled. Dwelling in that house forever, we're going to live there and enjoy our God and our fellowship with him forever. Fellowship with our God and fellowship with his saints. What a day that will be when I can talk with a Moses. What was that fire on that bush like? And when you heard that voice, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." Oh, David, what was it like when you were out there in the fields with the sheep, caring for them and singing sweet songs to the Lord? What was it like, Elijah, when God did these great wonders, these miracles for the Israel, God's people? What was it like, Paul, the sufferings that you engaged in, suffered for the sake of the cause of the gospel? Dwelling in God's house forever, enjoying our God and enjoying God's people as brothers and sisters in Christ. How is that possible that we have that hope, that certainty, that confidence even now as we are walking here in the valley of the shadow of death? Death throws its shadow upon us all of our life, from the moment that we're born out of the womb to the day that God takes us home to glory. In this valley, there are enemies that are always going to hate us. Expect it. You cannot be friends of the world and be friends of God. For as they hated our Lord Jesus Christ, they will hate those who are his disciples. And so we are given by the Apostle Paul the description of our Christian life now, that we have to put on the whole armor of God, that we have to fight daily in our lives sin in ourselves and around us and the devil. What gives us that confidence that we will reach that heavenly home? What gives us that confidence that we will not be swallowed up by this world with its pleasures, or that we will not become the bait that Satan gobbles up as a roaring lion? And the answer is that the Lord himself preserves us through our earthly sojourn. Again, let me turn to Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. Jesus prays to his Father, verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these," that is the church, his disciples, "are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given to me, that they may be one as we are one." What a prayer. He prays to his Father, keep them. Verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." John 17, verse 15, "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil." 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy and to those that he ministers to, and he writes, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." There's our hope. That's why it's a certainty. Because it is the Lord himself who chose us. It is the Lord himself who gave us to Jesus Christ to be redeemed. It is the Lord himself who dwells in us by his Spirit. It is he who has begun our salvation, will continue and keep that salvation from beginning to end. And that's what David is talking then about in Psalm 23. Surely, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness, that is, His grace and His love that determines our blessedness. And that grace of God does not consist in things or in circumstances, but that grace consists in His favor towards us. He set His love upon us, and He made us His own. And that love and that favor, that grace of God, is also the reason then of God's mercy to us. And that word mercy is He takes pity upon us. He knows our frame. He knows how weak we are. He knows how strong the temptations are. And like that Samaritan who was moved with mercy for that man that was laying in the ditch, God is moved with mercy. He doesn't pass by on the other side of the road, but He comes to help you and me as we struggle in our miseries, and He stoops and He lifts us up. It is in God's grace that He shows us mercy. And that is why Jeremiah is able to say in Lamentations chapter 3, it is because of Thy mercies that we are not consumed, Thy mercies that are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, beloved, it is not because we deserve those mercies. It is because of God's faithfulness. God is faithful to Himself. God is faithful to His people. He is faithful to His word. And He who has promised that He would redeem us and take us to heaven, He preserves us for that inheritance that is preserved for us in heaven. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Every day from since we're so young or held in mother's arms to the day that some of us are so old that we can hardly move anymore or get off our beds of illness. All the days of my life. Yes, that goodness and that mercy of God follows us even those times when we depart from Him and walk in sin. In His mercy, He follows us and He captures us and He turns us around again to Himself. He causes us to repent and He restores our feet again in the way that we should go. Constantly, day after day, the Lord, that is Jehovah, perfects His work that He has begun in us. For He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. Oh, beloved, it is your God who watches over you day by day. Doesn't that give you comfort? And it is your God who causes all things, the pleasant things, but also the unpleasant things. He works all things together for good to them that love Him. So that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing in this life. Not our sinful flesh. Not the devil who's roaring like a lion. Not the persecution or the temptations of the world. Nothing in this life and nothing in death can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He is our good shepherd, the I am that I am. He is the rock. He is the refuge. And He cares for each one of us. Unchangeable. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. I have nothing to fear. He who has chosen me, he who has redeemed me, he who dwells in me by his Spirit, he preserves me and he will glorify me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful application of our being nourished now at his table by his word, kept by him for the glory that is to come. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the beautiful picture that is given to us in thy word of our eternal hope. We are kept by thee day by day, from moment to moment, walking through this veil, through this valley of the shadow of death. And we're not afraid. Thou wilt keep us, and thou wilt bring us into the house of the Lord where we may dwell forever and ever. What a lively hope. We thank thee. Amen.